Good morning. We have communion today. And before we do that, let's learn from today's Bible passage. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Since we studied the book of Ephesians last time, it has been a while. But the verse that we just read says, the administration of the ministry. So I would like to know what this phrase means. The mystery of Jesus Christ is to bring all people together in Christ when it is the right time. And the most important thing is to save people from sins and give people eternal life. That is the mystery. And this mystery is the manifold wisdom of God, the book of Ephesians says. Today we would like to focus on the manifold wisdom of God, which is mentioned in today's passage. Wisdom is different from knowledge. As you know, knowledge is something specific about a subject, but wisdom is something when and how to use the knowledge that you have. There are many people who have lots of knowledge about various subjects, but there are not that many who have wisdom. If you have wisdom, that's special. And Paul used the word wisdom in referring to the manifold wisdom of God. Maybe it is not the right word to use the word wisdom when we're referring to God, but that's the only word we have to refer to that. So we use the word wisdom of God. And of course, God's wisdom is very, very different from human wisdom. So, Paul used the word to distinguish with human wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. So, what does this mean, manifold wisdom of God? First, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. To those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So what is the wisdom of God? The answer is Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God, and Christ is the power of God. And if we look at verse 18 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, and through that gave us salvation. And the church that was born based on that, and this is the wisdom of God. Salvation and gospel came to us, and that is what God gave us, and that's a blessing. The Bible teaches us that we are sinners, and we need to take our sins seriously. We cannot take our sins lightly. It's not easy for God to forgive people's sins. It's not easy for God either. We focus on salvation, grace, and faith. And if you believe, you'll be forgiven and go to heaven. So we emphasize that part, but we cannot take sins. We need to take sins seriously. Otherwise, we don't understand what's really happening here. The salvation exists because sin exists. If there is no sin, there is no need. There is no need for salvation. We deserve to be judged to die. But salvation is the forgiveness of that sins. And this is where the manifold wisdom of God appears. So the salvation exists at the same time because God has love and justice at the same time. And this is a manifest wisdom of God. Human beings are special beings to God. We are different from other animals and other things He created. If you look at Genesis, other things were created by the word of God. Human beings were created by using the dirt of the earth, and He breathed life into our beings, and we are created in the image of God. So we are very, very special to God. But at the same time, we have sinful desires and temptations. And God did not like that, but God could not just make us disappear. But at the same time, God could not just forgive us completely by embracing us in love. God could not treat us who are sinners as if we are not sinners, because God is a God of justice. God cannot do that because God is a just God. So God cannot just forgive our sins by treating us as if we are not sinners. So God loves us, but at the same time, but God is a love of justice. Even if God has love for us, He could not treat us as if we are not sinners. But He cannot just punish us, because God does love us. So he had to forgive us without stop being a God of justice. So what God did was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one of the Trinity of God, and God himself was crucified on the cross, and he fulfilled the need to be a God of justice, and also he filled the need to love us. And this is what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So the death of Christ on the cross showed God's manifest wisdom. God himself was killed on the cross. And by his crucifixion, fulfill the need for justice and for love. And because of that, we now have church. Because of God's wisdom that was fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, now we have a church. And the church made specific what God wants us to do. And how is this revealed? And that's another thing we need to learn about today, which makes today's passage very interesting. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. He says, made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So who are the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms? That they refer to angels. The angels know a lot about how human beings became sinners by succumbing to the temptation by Satan. Satan resisted God, and Satan tempted human beings, and human beings became sinners. And angels know what happened to human beings as they became sinners. And God do not give up on human beings even if they become sinners. And angels were curious how God is going to resolve this issue of sins of human beings. And angel did not know how this was going to be addressed. And what I'm saying is not just what I'm just saying. It's based on the Bible. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, First Peter chapter 1 verse 12. First Peter chapter 1 verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. See, it says, even angels long to look into these things. Angels wanted to know how God's promise and gospels were to be fulfilled. Angels wanted to know how God's going to provide salvation to human beings because angels did not know. How did God start this? How did God try to work this thing out? It started with the period in the Old Testament. God started many things. God first called Abraham, as you remember, he was in today's Iraq. He called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans. And he took him to Canaan. And he did not have much land. But it was hard to tell what God wanted him to do. And then Isaac was born, and Jacob was born, and Joseph was born. And Joseph was sold as a slave to Egypt. And, it's hard to tell what God wanted to do. And then there was a famine, and then his family came to Egypt, and they lived in the family. Joseph lived with his family. But what happened after that? Then the Jewish people became slaves for 400 years in Egypt. What was the intent of God? It's hard to understand, isn't it? Then God called Moses. And Moses became a prince. But he killed a person and he escaped Midian. And God did not do anything with him until he was 80 years old. And probably angels in the heaven were at a loss as to what was going to happen. And when Moses was 80 years old, then God called Moses and brought various problems to Egypt and let the Jewish people escape from Egypt. 2 million Jews escaped Egypt. And we are probably, angels were probably impressed. Wow, God, that's amazing. But angel did not know what was going to happen. And then Joshua stood up and then led the Jewish people and went to Canaan, the land of milk and honey. And they finally arrived there. And what happened to them? You can see in the book of Judges. Then they were controlled by other peoples for 300 years. And eventually, David appeared as the king. And he was a great king. And what happened after that? Then his son Solomon became the king. And then unified the country. And it became a greatest prosperous nation. But after Solomon died, the country was divided into north and south, and then there was bloody wars. And then Jewish people were captured and by Babylonians, and they lost their land, and eventually they came back to Israel. They wanted to make a new nation again, but then they were conquered by Alexander the Great from Greek. And when they became free, then they became a province of Roman Empire. And who did God send? God sent Jesus Christ. And the angels probably were very happy that this everything will be accomplished now. You know, God sent Abraham, Joseph, David, and Elijah, and so forth. And then Jesus came. A part of the Trinity came. God appeared in human form. God himself came. Where did God the Father send Jesus? He was sent to manger. There was no hotel. He was born in a manger. But angels were still happy. They had lots of expectation. But what happened to Jesus? He was crucified and died on the cross. All the angels were again probably shocked. They must have been disappointed when that happened. Probably there was a much disappointment in the heavens. There was discouragement. How can this be possible? God's son was killed. Is this possible? And Satan was probably happy. God was killed on the cross. So Satan must have been happy. But the disappointment, that shock, turned into the praise of God. Although Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was resurrected. He overcame death, and he saved all people. This is the manifold wisdom of God. Nobody could imagine that. Nobody understood. The angels were even surprised. So the angels were surprised. If you look at the book of Revelation, you can hear the surprises of angels. The book of Revelation has lots of praises about God based on that. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. So angels saw what happened from the beginning to the end. God's manifest wisdom was seen by angels. and the church was born. The progression of the church as well. 300 years of the Roman Empire, the Christian church was persecuted. Now, what happened to the Christian church during the persecution? Now, the Christians are everywhere in the world, even if Christians are threatened with death. And of course, what happened in Japan as well, Christians faced persecution under Toyotomi Hideyoshi and Tokugawa Ieyasu, but the Church of Christ survived. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. So, the apostles' work was a spectacle. It's not... So it was a spectacle to the whole universe, because what God has done was just amazing. And that's how people saw the work of the apostles. And you remember what happened to Paul. You know, Stephen, one of the evangelists, was killed, and Paul helped him getting killed. And people thought evangelism would be over. But Paul was converted, and God used Paul to evangelize to the whole world. And Paul had an amazing life. He had many challenges, and many, many people came to believe in Jesus through the work of Paul. We are all different, we are very diverse, but we are all led to Christ. And each one of us but is based on the manifold wisdom of God. That's why we can respect each other. We respect each other because we should respect each other because we are based on the manifest wisdom of God. So we need to understand that. So do we understand that? We have all kinds of challenges in our lives. We have difficult experiences in our lives. And we cannot blame that on God. We need to understand that. Just like we learned from Deuteronomy last week, We need to make it clear. We need to write down at places where that is clear to us, and God, through Jesus Christ, solved the problem of love and justice at the same time, and we know that manifold wisdom of God. So this is the There is nothing more greater than this power of God and the wisdom of God. So we are given that power of God and the wisdom of God. Just like, so God never compromise on justice, and God never compromise on love. He is the God of justice and God of love. But he solved that problem through Jesus Christ. So because of this perfect balance between justice and God, we were given salvation. God made us. God created us, human beings. We are worthy in his eyes. And we are saved because of the blood Jesus Christ bled. We were made because of God's amazing wisdom and power. What do we need to worry about? We should be proud of the fact we have that. Now let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you accomplish things even angels in the heavens could not predict. You used justice and love, and through Jesus Christ, you gave us salvation. Because of work that of salvation that you did, we are saved. We thank you for that. And we are based on the wisdom that of you. What you accomplished through Jesus Christ, help us remember that. Let us not forget that. And we're going to have a communion soon, but let us remember your power and love. We thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we are going to have a communion which was designated by Jesus Christ. What God accomplished through Jesus Christ using love and justice. So let us remember our salvation through this ritual. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you have been baptized, and if you want to walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are welcome to participate in this communion. Even if you are baptized in a different denomination of Christianity, we are all one in Christ, so you are welcome to participate in it. if you feel you are not good enough to participate in the communion, even though you are baptized, please participate in the communion, because the communion is for those people as well. But if you have not been baptized, please refrain from participating in the communion. But if that's not a way, we don't want to exclude you, but this is an invitation to you. Now let me pray. Oh, graceful Father, God, Jesus Christ was killed on the cross, and He paid the price for us. Please help us remember Your love and Your power, and what You accomplished through the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Please bless this bread and wine. Please sanctify them. We will take Your body and Your blood, and we'll do this as an assurance of Your salvation. We are members of the same family that we have in You. And help us to be witnesses of this faith. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.